All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome in to Daily Faceoff Live, your go-to source for everything hockey, live every day at noon Eastern.
Welcome into a fresh week of Daily Faceoff Live, streaming live on the Daily Faceoff YouTube. And yes, it's another playoff edition of the show. It's a second round edition of the show, and it's presented by Bet365. They're our sports betting partner for the 2024 playoffs. And we'll be here with Bet365 to give you all the news, analysis, lines, betting options for the playoffs until just one of these eight teams are left standing at the end of June. Kylie Remchuk and Colby Cohen with you here on a Monday. Colb, what's going on? Thanks for filling in.
Hey, buddy. I'm loving this now because I don't have to track six games every single night. You get two games a night. You get your early game and your late game. So lots of time to dissect the film and to watch your Edmonton Oilers make a run to the Stanley Cup.
Oh, that's going to be one of the very spicy series in the second round. We're not going to be talking Oilers Canucks today. We're going to save that preview for tomorrow. John Goyens is going to swing by in about 10, 15 minutes to break down the Panthers and the Bruins. But before we look too far ahead, Colby, let's look back at what we saw over the course of the weekend. And we'll start with the Saturday night game 7 at the Boston Garden. It was the Killer Bees, Boston Bruins, in overtime, coming through over the Toronto Maple Leafs. They win the series in 7. They held an advantage in a lot of important categories there. And our guy, Paul Peduti, would be quick to point out those special teams numbers as a big, big difference in the two. But maybe, Cole, we should start at the end with this overtime winner by David Pastrnak. There was kind of the blame game going around on Twitter, as Twitter usually does. When you watch this goal by Pastrnak, who are you most kind of faulting for this one? Or are you just going, hot damn great play?
Well, let's just start with the fact that it's a hot damn great play. I mean, this is a cerebral look. You've got two players completely communicating without saying a word to one another. You've got Pasta pointing his stick. You've got Lindholm, who had his best game of the series in game 7, with his head up. He makes sure he gets the red line. Tavares doesn't do a good enough job of sealing at the red line. And then that's when the finger point can start. And I'm going to tell you right now, I don't point at one player on the Toronto Maple Leafs for this. There is shared blame. I think Mitch Marner, you can start right there. As a winger, okay, you track back. I'm not saying you're following him to the top of the crease, but it is over. Just to break his stride, just to slow him down enough, Tyler, in order to give Morgan Riley a chance to get back to that puck. Then you look at Morgan Riley. His gap, it's no good. He's flat-footed. He's more than two zones away. He's got the blue line, and then he's at the top of the circle. That is why you don't sit back, because you're flat-footed and you become a sitting duck. And then I look at Samsonov, Tyler. He could have done a better job of being aggressive. He got caught indecisive. You cannot be indecisive in overtime in the playoffs, and that's when breakdowns start to happen. So all I can tell you is I'm not pointing at one player. There's shared blame, but also we're talking about the best players in the world, and sometimes they make plays that are unavoidable.
Yeah, and I know some people, like even today, Samsonov came out and was like, I got to be better. And I think it's kind of, if you're the Leafs, I'm not looking back at that game going, boy, if we had Joe Wall, we're moving on to round two. It's like, you got to score more than once. Yeah. Like, come on.
I didn't love the goal. I didn't love the Lindholm goal. I don't think in playoffs you can overcome soft goals. I think you look at this year's playoffs and you look at games where a soft goal has gone in, especially a low-scoring game. That team generally does not come out the other side with a win.
Yeah, I know YouTube chat. I do see you guys. I know the talk about our stream quality not being good today. It is not on our end. I think it's YouTube having a case of the Mondays. So it's probably just going to sort itself out without us doing anything. That's usually the way those things go. But anyways, back to the topic at hand. We'll talk a bit more about the Bruins in a little bit with John Goins. But from the Leafs perspective, I mean, Sheldon Keefe came out, had another weird quote after talking about how the Leafs beat themselves or whatever. To me, it's like, man, if you're the head coach of the team talking about how for however many consecutive years your team has beaten themselves, you're putting your hand up and saying, fire me, get rid of me, because I clearly can't fix this problem. I didn't like that from Sheldon Keefe. And the other guy who I wanted to hear from and I was intrigued to hear from and we got to today was Mitch Marner, who said his kind of priority is he wants to be a Leaf for a really long time. And I sit there and I look at those two as two guys who the coach and the player in Marner, they've both underperformed a lot over these last few playoff runs. I think the Leafs need to make big, big changes this summer. That's obvious. And I also think it's kind of obvious that it's got to start with those two. Do you disagree with that?
No, I completely agree with you, but I think it goes farther up the chain. From what I'm understanding, Brendan Shanahan is very involved in day-to-day hockey operations. He's vetoed trades. He's been involved in contract negotiations. He's not a president in name only. He's heavily involved. I think the buck stops with him. I think Kyle Dubas would be the first one to tell people that now that he sits in that GM and president job in Pittsburgh. And I think it has to go all the way up the ladder. I think this has been a failure the way the team has been built. I think it's been a failure the way that they've handed out contracts. And I think at the end of the day, when you have a guy like Mitch Marner with a 10.93 cap hit with multiple years left and a no trade, no move, that's a very complicated transaction. The team has no leverage. The player has all the leverage. What contender, Tyler, has room for $11 million on the cap for a player that doesn't show up in the playoffs? I think that there would be a very underwhelming return unless he's willing to go to a rebuilding team, which why would you, if you're him, go to a rebuilding team? I do not believe this is as easy as see you later, Mitch Marner. We'll talk to you soon.
I agree with that. You look at their highest paid forwards, Matthews, Tavares, Marner, Nylander, all no movement clauses. I know Bertuzzi and Domi are both free agents this summer, but like the Leafs gave them both no move or no trade clauses to some way. David Kampf and Cali Yarncroc make between $2 and $2.5 million, and they both have no movement or no trade clauses to some extent. Like that's where they're really hamstrung in all of this. They do have a little bit of money opening up with some of these guys becoming free agents. But again, you're going to have to fill those roster spots. There's not a lot of wiggle room for them to actually go out and prove unless they can convince one of these guys to waive their no move clauses.
But let me just be clear. The Toronto Maple Leafs did not lose to the Boston Bruins because of defense and goaltending. They were not bullied. It was not on their back end. I thought Joel Edmondson was phenomenal. I thought Jake McCabe showed us why they gave up on a first and a second round pick for him. I thought he was their most consistent player the entire series. He's exactly who you thought he was. I thought Lyubushkin had a good series. I really did. I do not point at the D and the goaltending. When your $10 and $11 million players all get one goal, with the exception of William Nylander, who seemed to answer the bell when they needed him, it's just not enough. And I don't know if this is a new thing or an old thing. And unless it's a head injury, my question would be, Tyler, why is it that the Toronto Maple Leafs don't play injured and everyone else does in the playoffs? That's all I'm going to ask. I don't know the situation. I know Austin Matthews spoke today. I think he was vague in talking about his sickness or whatever. But I think back to guys that I played with, whether it was Berge playing with a punctured lung, whether it was Greg Campbell finishing a shift with a broken leg. Lucic played the entire 2011 Stanley Cup playoffs with a broken foot. And I just wonder, why can't the Leafs play injured when everyone else can? Unless it's your head. Unless it's your head.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, we are running a little bit behind, so let's move on and head out west, Colby. We will have a new Stanley Cup champion once again this season as the Vegas Golden Knights fall in seven games to the Dallas Stars. And I mean, what a dogfight of a series this thing was. Every game came down to one bounce, one goal either way. Goaltending played a massive role in this. I thought Jake Oettinger was excellent, even if maybe his numbers weren't like some sort of crazy out of this world 980 save percentage, whatever. I thought he was very, very good for them. Dallas's blue line impressed me. Dallas's forward depth and their young kids. Everything about Dallas impressed me. On the flip side for Vegas, yes, you ran into the Dallas Stars. And I did think it was kind of funny to hear Mark Stone after the game saying, quote, probably would have been better off putting ourselves in a better position in the regular season. And he talked about then you don't have to play the best teams right out of the chute. I mean, you don't put half your roster on LTIR for the last 2 weeks of the season. And yeah, maybe you have an easier round one matchup. But maybe we should just start with Vegas, a disappointing end. And it's going to be not quite as similar, but kind of along the same lines. It's going to be a summer of change in Vegas. Like, I don't think they can keep Jonathan March or so. I think they maybe have to do a little bit more roster surgery this summer.
Yeah, they are. I just don't understand how they're going to fit Marchessault in, because if you're Marchessault, why would you give a discount? You have earned another payday. You've earned a big payday. You were a Conn Smythe. You're a 40 goal scorer. You're out on the ice up or down a goal. Okay. And there's not that many superstar players that are doing that in the later stages of their career. Now, I know he's not an old player, but he's into his 30s. We're not talking about a 25, 26 year old spring chicken anymore by hockey standards. So I thought what was really interesting to me, Tyler, was, you know, listening to Bruce Cassidy's comments in his post game and how he talked about how proud he was of the guys and how there were all the surgeries. And it almost felt to me like they were accepting of the fact that we won last year, so it's okay that we didn't win this year, which is just a little surprising. I spent 4 years with Bruce Cassidy. He's cutthroat. He's perfect for Vegas. What have you done for me lately type of guy. And it was just surprising. Maybe he's chilled out a little bit since they won a Stanley Cup. I do know a lot of people are like that. So summer of change coming, but don't sit on your hands. Vegas never does. We see them move in and away from players that you think are lifers, and they always keep it interesting there. But that series was awesome. It was what playoffs should be out west.
And if you enjoyed it, I think we might get just a carbon copy of it coming between Dallas and the Colorado Avalanche. That series gets going tomorrow night, and we'll have a full preview on tomorrow's edition of the show. Some news off the ice today, Colby, as the Winnipeg Jets passed along, and it was broken by Darren Dreger, that Rick Bowness is going to be stepping away and retiring after two seasons at the helm in Winnipeg. And what a coaching career it was for Rick Bowness. It began all the way back in the 1984-85 season when he was an assistant on the Winnipeg Jets bench. And I love that the Jets shared this video with some great throwback footage in there as well. He ends up being behind the bench for over 2,600 NHL games. He had stops in seven other organizations before coming back to Winnipeg at the end there. An unbelievable career. And again, I've never met the guy, but everything you read today is about how he is one of the best people in the sport.
Yeah, well, I have met him, Tyler, and he was a coach, I believe, of the Dallas Stars when I did the Winter Classic years ago at the Cotton Bowl. So I got to spend a little bit of time with him there, and just so gracious. You know, the radio doesn't always get first priority, right? We get second, maybe third priority to the TV networks for events like that. And he really is the type of guy that when you're with him, he makes you feel like you matter. And he's not a guy who's looking at his watch, getting ready to go to his next interview. He's very present. He treats everyone around him with the utmost respect. You don't last in this league as long as he does without that type of reputation, especially in today's world where we don't put up with the type of bullshit that we see from guys like Babcock and others. Rick Bonus, cheers to him. I was really rooting for him, although I picked against him in the first round. I did have Colorado in that series, but you know, one of my favorite guys that I've covered as a broadcaster and gotten a chance to get to know a little bit over the years.
Yeah. So again, stick taps to Rick Bonus. And now in Winnipeg, I mean, early rumblings that Scott Arneal is going to get a lot of consideration for that gig out in Winnipeg, but it was, you know, a very successful regular season for the Winnipeg Jets, getting in, having home ice in round one. Obviously, playoffs didn't go their way. It'll be interesting to see how they handle their coaching change. Another coaching vacancy out there in the NHL. That list just continues to grow. It is quite something. Last night, Colby, on the ice, it was game one of, I should say yesterday in the afternoon. It was game one between the Carolina Hurricanes and the New York Rangers. And I'll plug this for a second time. Paul Peduti, our pal at Adjusted Hockey, and you can find his work at dailyfaceoff.com. He pointed out on Twitter that the eight teams in round one who held the special teams advantage in their series were the eight teams that moved on. If you didn't win the special teams battle, you lost your round one series. And take a look at the start of round two here. The Rangers go 2-for-2 on the power play. They get back-to-back goals in the first period with the man advantage, and it really set them on the right path. Winnipeg or Carolina couldn't come back after that because they went 0-for-5 on the power play themselves. It's one of those things where people always talk about in the playoffs, the 5-on-5 tightens up, and they say, you know, the refs are letting things go, all this stuff. But it doesn't change the fact that special teams changes series, and it changed things in game one in a positive way for the Rangers. Bless
Excuse
you.
Me. They got out hot and they started with their hair on fire, and both teams had a little bit of a layoff. So I was not expecting that kind of start. I thought you might see a little bit more of a sluggish start, but you've referenced Paul Peduti a couple of times now. And I saw Frank tweeted earlier or retweeted something that Paul Peduti had put up from the first round of the playoffs. And the teams with the good special teams won every single series. The teams that struggled, Tampa, Vegas, the Islanders, you go down right down the list and you look at how their numbers shook out between PK and PP. They were the bottom eight teams. So you're right. Things do tighten up 5-on-5. I think the big issue that we've seen this year is there hasn't necessarily been a ton of consistency the way the officials have been calling it game to game. I think that you're seeing things that are happening in one game and then you're flipping over to the other when we have these back-to-backs and they're being called. And I think that always creates a lot of discourse amongst the fans. But give the Rangers credit. They came out hot. Their power play puck movement, they had that one goal where they moved the puck three times through the box. And not one player stick handled. And I know John Goyans, who we're having on here shortly to talk in the coach's room, who's a former head coach, he would love that kind of thing. As a coach, underhandling the puck, breaking the box, shooting off of a one-timer situation. These are all major recipes to success. So the Rangers hung on. I don't think they dominated the game 5-on-5, but they win that special teams game. And they win game one of that series. I think we're going to see seven phenomenal games of that Rangers Carolina Hurricanes series.
Yeah, I think that's one that is likely going to go deep. Game two goes tomorrow at 7:00 Eastern. Let's dig into the other series out east. Panthers Bruins gets going tonight. Let's dig into it with the coach's room and John Goyans.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
The Coach's Room is powered by Booster Juice. Visit a location today to refuel, refresh, and re-energize, or download their new Booster Rewards app to earn, order, and enjoy. John Goyens with the Coach's Room, John, and we're digging into the Bruins and Panthers today. And before we get into clips or anything like that, just a general overview of these two teams who met a year ago, and it was the seven-game thriller with the blown 3-1 series lead for the Bruins. This time around, the script is like almost a little flipped here. It's Florida as the top dog taking on the Bruins.
Yeah, they're considered the top dogs. They're considered the fact that they got a little extra rest under their belt that will be beneficial. Brandon Carlo, will he be in the lineup in time? Can he get on the PJ and get to FLA after having after his wife giving birth? I think it was today or last night. But the reality, you know, you can look at the head-to-head during the regular season as well. Boston went 4-0. The game's real tight. And then you start doing a deep dive. You look at the analytics and you wonder, at the end of the day, it's how are teams creating? How are teams getting to the slot? How are teams defending the slot? And the more and more I looked at these things, the numbers were relatively the same. And what I kind of ascertained after a while is because the numbers are very similar, it means that they're going to have to defend a particular part of the ice that I didn't think was going to be as big a factor as it, to me, blatantly is right now, which is the offensive blue lines or the defending blue lines. And that'll lead us into the first couple topics here.
Yeah, John, I mean, you look at the way that Florida plays and you look at the reputation that they've built. They're a heavy and fast team. They get in on the forecheck. They're heavy and fast on the rush. So when you flip that to the Boston Bruins, what can they do and how can they take care of themselves defensively to make sure that that Florida forecheck and rush doesn't get pumping down their throat?
Well, I think they showed a lot of strides defensively against Toronto. You know, everybody could talk about how Toronto didn't score, and you know, there's always another side of that coin, and it's Boston defended really well as a five-man unit. I don't think enough credit was given there. I mean, you only gave up 12 goals in a seven-game series to Toronto, and Toronto is a team that has actually changed up how they spread out their scoring. So as we dive into the first few clips, what we're going to see is how Florida likes to get up ice, and everybody's involved now. Defensemen are involved. Ekman-Larsson jumping in the play, did an early breakdown early in the year. They like to go east-west through the neutral zone. If you don't kill them at the blue, then they're going to be comfortable getting in deep and crashing the net. Everybody saw this goal, thought it'd be called back. And they're also not afraid to create forechecking situations, use the back of the net, pop it to the slot, and when in doubt, they anchor net front presence. So we'll freeze it here. So Florida's great at screenshots, right? Creating screenshots, one of the best in the league. They anchor guys at the net. They're good with relinquishing possession, but give them a little bit of time and space, they will take it. So Boston, what do you got to do? You got to have great gap. You got to manage the dots. You got to give time for your defenders to get back. And then when you get an opportunity to get a lick in, let's let these clips roll. You got to take your lick. And Charlie McAvoy, I thought he was a stud in round one. I thought he kept getting bigger and better. I think you got to get these hits in once in a while, and it's going to fuel that transition. step up, take away time and space. Another guy who I thought really broke out as the series went on was Lindholm. Great gap. But look at everybody else just resetting underneath and not cheating the play. You want to go north, you want to establish the forecheck. Grizzlick does a great job of defending the path. Now, the one thing, be aware, Florida will expose that first post area, but Boston does a good job up and out, and they just get back. They defend the path really well. And this is one thing. If they're going to want to avoid getting smashed into the glass, they're going to need to come back five. They need to get to come back low and slow, and that way it'll fuel better transition and better breakouts.
Tyler, I think your mic is
that's
muted there.
Son of a gun. We want to hit on with you is on the offensive side. Boston in round one seemed to lose a bit of that offensive mojo at times. A lot of low scoring games. Game seven, they needed overtime to get their second goal of the game. What did they do to maybe not be as one-dimensional?
Well, I think one thing is their east-west offensive threat wasn't as apparent as the season went on and as the playoffs went on in round one. So I did a breakdown months ago about them playing half-ice hockey and playing as quickly as possible away from their own zone. A bit of a Captain Obvious type of, you know, thing to mention here, but they were going north as quickly as possible. And when in doubt, they were putting pucks deep and they were willing to grind it out and shrink the offensive zone. So we'll fire up a few clips of Boston creating that offense, and then we'll see how Florida can combat that with the way they defend. So does this play look a little familiar? It looked like Lindholm going stretch pass, but he wasn't able to gain the red line. So on that play, they go for a stretch tip in the middle and kick it out. Here, Heinen willing to go in, willing to grind it out. JVR comes around the weak side post. And if a team shrinks the D zone, the offensive pinches are a lot easier to read. Great stick. And the second guy on the forecheck is money on the spot. Now watch. This is exactly the same play as the first one. But in this case, Lindholm can get to the red line. This is where Boston is comfortable with getting pucks deep and playing these bank plays. Let's freeze it right here. Now, what does Florida do? Florida, very similarly, they manage the dots really well, and they're willing to surf, skate above, and defend the path. So watch on this stretch pass by Tampa as we let the clips roll, right? D gets in path. He's got options in the corner. He's got five guys going to be in the pick, and you don't have to keep pucks along the wall. Little pocket pass, you're up and you're out. A lot of surfing support. Forsling is a little bit late, but at least he's skating forward. Watch how quickly Florida just collapses. Five guys. There is no guessing. There is no, I didn't know Braden Point was open. There's five guys, and two or three guys can share that responsibility. And when a team has a lot of time and space, they play tight together, manage the dots, and they force offensive teams to kick out their offense. So we'll freeze it here. Okay. This is where they've got to continue to just defend and not necessarily go hunting for the big hit in the neutral zone. They can be hard and heavy in the offensive zone. They can be hard and heavy in the D zone. But I feel that it's all about that surf for Florida in the neutral zone that's going to allow them to get back to pucks quicker, and it's going to make Boston relinquish that possession quicker.
You got a prediction?
I'm going to go Boston in six.
Wow.
I think they lose game one, and I think Boston comes back in six. I think they're going to just figure this one out.
All right. Interesting stuff. We'll check in with you later on.
You're on an island by yourself on that one there, Coach.
I'm used to it.
Another fantastic edition of the Coach's Room powered by Booster Juice. John, appreciate it. We'll chat later in the week.
Have a good one.
Daily Faceoff inbox question, hashtag AskDFO, brought to you by Douglas Mattresses. You can sleep as good as I do on a nightly basis by getting yourself a Douglas mattress. Order today at douglas.ca/DFO. Colby, tonight, game one, Bruins-Panthers. It sounds like Jeremy Swayman was the first goalie off the ice for the Bruins. He's going to get the start. mistake or the right call?
That's the right call. A guy who just played as well as he did over the last week, you're not taking him out of the net, because at the end of the day, right now, it's the playoffs, and I don't care about rotations. I don't care about plans. I care about the fact that Jeremy Swayman gives you the best chance to win against the Florida Panthers. Now, if they lose game one, okay, they go to Ullmark in game two, and you're looking for a split. But I just don't think you can take the net from Jeremy Swayman when he is playing at a Conn Smythe level right now. He is playing at a dominant level, higher than any other goaltender in the playoffs. I just don't buy the rest thing. I really don't. There'll be opportunities. There's days between games. He came out. He seemed to get better as the series went along. I said it on Morning Cup of Hockey because Johnny didn't agree with me. He thought Ullmark would be in the net, and he's usually wrong. So I felt really confident about the fact that Swayman would start. So I absolutely like the move.
I would have gone Ullmark. I just think if game one or game seven was, what, 48 hours ago, I just look and go, the rotation got you here. They did it in the first round series, played Ullmark a couple of times.
They didn't. They only played Ullmark in game two.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. They did eventually stick to him. So I don't know. I would stick with a rotation early on. And
well,
then
let me ask you a question, though. Let me ask you a question. Who gives you the best chance to win in a hockey game right now, Jeremy Swayman or Linus Ullmark?
I think the difference is incredibly marginal. And I think the difference, at least in what you maybe lose, is outweighed by keeping Jeremy Swayman fresh if you want to go on a long run.
All right. Hey, listen, I think that's a fair answer. I think there's a lot of people would make that same argument. But when that guy's at that level, I'm not taking him out of the net.
Just quickly, because we got it from Natty in there. They wanted to know, our full predictions are up at dailyfaceoff.com, by the way. But who do you have in each series, just quickly off the cuff?
So I've got the Rangers. I've got the Florida Panthers. I've got the Dallas Stars. And I've got the Edmonton Oilers. That was the easiest one for me to pick, the Edmonton Oilers. But I struggled with the Dallas-Colorado series. I really did, only because I had Dallas going all the way early, so I'm sticking with it, but I'm looking forward to that series. I just think it's Dallas's year. I think they're too deep.
Yeah. I love Dallas, but I felt like I couldn't go full chalk all home ice in all of them. So I went Rangers in seven, Panthers in six, Avs in seven, Oilers in five were my four picks. You can catch the full ones up at dailyfaceoff.com. Let's get to our daily bets brought to you by Bet365. Whatever the moment, whatever the sport, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Get in on the action today and use the promo code DAILY365 to bet on a huge range of markets, like maybe this same game parlay. Two legs to it. Charlie McAvoy over 1.5 shots. He hit this in each of the final five games in that series against the Toronto Maple Leafs. And under 6.5 goals. The Panthers series against the Lightning was a little bit more high scoring towards the end, but this under hit in every single game between the Leafs and Bruins. So I like under 6.5. I like McAvoy. They're both hitting a ton, and it's a +135 payout. Again, courtesy of our friends at Bet365. We're going to wrap up with quickly, Colby, some garbage time. And it is brought to you by our friends at Wendy's. It takes hard work and determination to bring home a cup. Luckily, all you need to do to bring home some delicious food is download the Wendy's Rewards app. You could be chiming or getting in on some free food courtesy of Wendy's and their Rewards app. Why not? There's your lunch plans. I just did it for you. Colby, Frank Saravalli on the latest episode of Frankly Speaking, which you can catch right here on the DFO YouTube, talked with BU head coach Jay Pandolfo. The draft lottery's tomorrow. Frank asked him, is Macklin Celebrini NHL ready? Let's take a listen.
All of that maturation, emotional, physical, the development and details of his game, and you smash all those things together. Jay, you played 900 games in the NHL. Is this guy ready to step into an NHL lineup right away?
I think so. Obviously, we'd love to have him back. The circumstances have to be right for everyone. There's no doubt in my mind he could play in the National Hockey League tonight. Just the way he plays the game. You could put him in a playoff game tonight and I think he'd do well. Like that's my opinion. And, so yes, I think he's ready from that standpoint, but we're not opposed to taking him back if he feels like he needs, cause he is still really young. He doesn't turn 18 till June. So he it's amazing, again, in saying it, that he played his whole freshman year as a 17-year-old. He would play his whole sophomore year as an 18-year-old. You know, so that's pretty impressive. But in saying all that, I think he's very capable of playing in the National Hockey League today. Mm-hmm.
Colby, Macklin Celebrini, will we see him playing a full season in the NHL next year?
You know what? As much as I'm riding with Pando on that one, and I would kill to see him back in a BU jersey. I watched Macklin play, I don't know, 40 times this year. No exaggeration. The kid's ready to play in the NHL. He's ready to play. He's ready to play center. The physicality that he plays with, the maturity in his game. And look, Jay Pandolfo was about as responsible as a player as you could ask for in your lineup. And he's sitting there telling you the same thing. I've been around those guys all year, Tyler. He said the same thing to me off camera privately for the last few months. But look, having said that, if he decides he wants to come back to Boston University, I will happily pick him up in California and drive him back to Boston if he's got too much stuff for the dorm. So count me in for that if Macklin wants to go back to BU.
Hey, Dave, I'll send it over to him, Colb. That is a good sign. I mean, do you want to win all the time in BU or lose every night in San Jose? Like, if he goes to the Sharks, I think there actually is a decent case to, like, we're not exposing you to how bad we will be. Yeah. Like, go back.
I think they're going to see. I don't agree. I think they'll want him right away. I think ownership will say to Mike Greer, we need this guy here to sell tickets. They've put the full court press on Will Smith trying to sign him. I don't think that that's done yet. I think if Celebrini ends up with San Jose, I think Will Smith out of Boston College signs. And I think they play those two together in the NHL next year. But again, I'm just hoping that he's back in a BU jersey next year, because that will be incredibly fun to watch.
It would be. Him and Will Smith together would also be kind of fun. And you're right. Ownership perspective, you want to sell those jerseys ASAP. You want to get those two kids in the lineup ASAP. Yeah. Draft lottery again tomorrow. Stephen Ellis on the show Wednesday. So after the draft lotto, full mock draft from Stephen Ellis. We'll have that on Wednesday show. Tomorrow, we're going to preview both series out west as well. So you won't want to miss it. Hit the subscribe button on YouTube if you haven't already, because not only can you watch Daily Faceoff Live, but you can watch Morning Cup of Hockey with Colby Cohn and Johnny Lazarus Monday through Thursday every morning. That is a wrap on today's edition of the show. We'll chat again tomorrow at noon Eastern.
Thanks for tuning in to Daily Faceoff Live. Make sure you hit the subscribe button to never miss an episode.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
All right, hockey fans, listen up because we've got something special coming your way this playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and let me tell you, it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game day, you're going to be faced with four questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle. And here's a sneak peek into some of those questions we'll be firing your way. First up, you got to pick the winning team. That sounds simple, right? But there's more. You got to decide if the total amount of goals in the game will be over or under a certain amount, and that's where the real strategy starts to kick in. Next up, you're picking who's going to find the back of the net first, and you're going to want to be careful because that's one that could be cooked early on in the game. And finally, you got to predict which period is going to be the highest scoring. Will it be a barn burner in the first, a shootout in the second, or a nail biter in the third? That's up to you to decide. Now let's talk about prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? For the daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards to treat yourself to some fresh nation gear, and you might even win a jersey from your favorite team. And for the big dogs, those who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Play now at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.